Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, a weekly podcast that gives you an in-depth look at the South Alabama Jaguars. You can find a new podcast uploaded weekly online at usajaguars.com or take the podcast with you on your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Just search South Alabama Jaguars.
Welcome to Inside Jag Nation, the weekly podcast of the University of South Alabama Department of Athletics. I'm Brian Freeman, Associate Athletic Director for Media Relations, and this week we're visiting with head women's tennis coach Yaku Kaiser. Just prior to them starting their spring season this weekend at ITA event. Coach, thanks for joining us this week. We appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me.
You know, you've had a couple weeks practice after a break following the fall season and over the holidays with Christmas break between semesters. How excited are you to get going and play dual matches again?
Oh, very excited. You know, I mean, this is what we prepare for the whole year. You know, this is year 19 as assistant or head coach, and every year I'm excited, you know, looking forward to see what we can accomplish this year.
So, like I said, it's ITA kickoff weekend, and your draw Saturday afternoon. You open the season against number 21 Texas A&M. If all goes well, your potential opponents on Sunday in the second round of the event include number 12 Miami, who's the host, or Brown. What are your expectations going into the weekend?
First of all, it's it's a great honor to play in this tournament. It's a top 64 teams from the year before, straight off the rankings. You know, so in theory, might even be stronger than the NCAA tournament. But you know, it's a reward for the girls having a great season last year. You know, going into the match, always a little scary starting off with strong matches like that. But this year, you know, I feel like we got a bunch of seniors on our team. You know, I feel like we got a good idea of where we're at. Yeah, and it's a good starting point. See where we're at, and we'll just take it from there.
You know, bigger picture for the entirety of the spring season, what kind of goals or expectations do you have?
Yeah, I mean, our goals are the same every single year. You know, number one is we want to win the Sun Belt Conference. And then number two is we want to play in the NCAA tournament. If that's by winning the conference tournament or being top 40 in the nation, you know, that's every single year what we want to do. Hopefully we get to do that this year.
You know, tell us about the preparations you've made for this upcoming season. And really, I would even go so far back to the start of the fall semester and some of the things that you did, including taking some of the girls to a couple of individual fall tournaments, which is a different atmosphere and a different type of play. But talk about how you set everything up to try and accomplish those goals this season.
Well, Each team is slightly different, you know, so it depends on where you're at, who the returning players are. But in theory for us, the fall semester is there to work on conditioning, be an extremely well-conditioned team, and then, you know, secondly, work on our fundamentals and play a lot of individual matches. You know, now, this year we did make a slight adjustment. You know, once again, with a little bit of an older team, you know, didn't feel the need to play as many matches in the fall. And then at the same time, you know, we just wanted to revisit what I like to do is, you know, conditioning and making sure that we are a fundamentally sound team. Yeah, sometimes not as exciting for the girls, but those are the kind of things that excite me.
Oh, I'm sure they're thrilled at some of the practice sessions you have set up for them. As you look at it, what do you think it would be a key or the keys for the girls having a successful season and meeting your expectations?
I mean, number one, I think that's for every single team around the country, is we got to stay healthy. You know, if we stay healthy, it's a long season. You know, we stand a good chance. And then, you know, with this group, with this unit, you know, it's just how will we adversity, how will we handle adversity? You know, we've got the talent. We're great front runners. The only thing is, and once again, that's for every single team out there. It's just, when things don't go well, how are we going to handle it? The way things have progressed since August, I feel a lot better about that. But once again, when April, May rolls around, we'll look back at it and see how well we did.
As you look at other results and things of that nature throughout the course of the spring, is there anyone in the Sun Belt that you think you keep an eye on, see who they're playing, how they're playing, what their results are, that maybe some teams you think are the biggest challengers that you'll face to that goal of a Sun Belt championship in April?
You know what? I personally try and make a point out of it, not worrying what all the other teams are doing in the conference or on our schedule. I feel like we can only control what we do. But having said that, and there's a good and a bad side to it, the good part is our conference is becoming a pretty strong tennis conference. For example, last year at one stage, we had three teams in the top 50, five, six teams in the top 75, and it looks like that's going to be the same this year. So that's a good part, is we got great competition on a national scale. We can generate ranking points. But then obviously the bad side is, that conference tournament keeps on getting stronger and stronger each year. But, it's good for the conference, and hopefully we can get it to a stage where within the conference we got five, six teams in the top 50. That makes things a lot easier on scheduling, and to compete at a national level, you got to be able to play against ranked teams. So, we shall see.
I want to take the time right now to ask you about kind of the approach to a match in the spring and comparing it to some other sports, because I think a lot of our fans and people who might be listening to this understand all week football coaches will watch video of the team they're about to play that Saturday. And basketball coaches will look at the team they're going to play on a Thursday or Saturday and develop a game plan offensively and defensively. Tennis isn't like that. It's not like you have video of Texas A&M's players in singles and doubles. How do you approach a dual match? What kind of take do you have in terms of thinking of a game plan or an idea of giving the girls what they need to do to be successful to get 4 points and a win?
Going back to the fall, like I said, that's when you build a base conditioning-wise or fitness or playing-wise. When it comes to the spring, the practices are a little bit shorter. A lot more speed work, working on footwork, changes of directions, and all those things. From an actual playing standpoint, our focus is big time on execution, decision making, all the things that we can control. And the message is the same every single day. We can only control our side of the net. And then on top of that, each player has a clearly defined game plan. As a coach, we try and convince them that's your game plan. That's what you worked on the whole year. That's what you got to go and do in a match. Now, no doubt during the matches, we do make in-game, in-match adjustments. But at the same time, the time to add to your game and get better with your game is in the fall. Right now, you have what you have. We got to go out there and execute it, believe in it, trust in it. And if it's not good enough, next summer, next fall, we will try and make adjustments.
Visiting this week on Inside Jag Nation with head women's tennis coach Yaku Kaiser, big picture results over the course of 15 years, you've put together a 210 and 107 overall record. I mean, that's about winning two-thirds of your matches. You are the school's all-time leader in women's victories for coaches. But I want to ask you about the last 3 years, because in that time, you've gone 58 and 12, won the Sun Belt Championship, went to a regional in 2015, played in the Sun Belt Tournament Championship last year. What to you has been the reason why your program has been so good these last 3 years?
Well, first of all, you know, that's a lot of losses. I wish I could have a couple of those years back, especially there, 2009-10. But the last couple of years have been great, because we were down in the lull a little bit, and we've slowly been building it up back to where it used to be, back to where it should be. Over the years, I mean, South Alabama has got such a good tennis tradition. You know, I mean, even before when I got here in 94, it's just been a good tennis program. Yeah, and I like to think as a coaching staff we know what we're doing, you know, but at the same time, you know, we've been fortunate to get talented tennis players. We try and make a point out of it by finding the right fit, you know, hardworking players, good character players. And obviously, you know, it's not just the coaching staff and the players. You know, the administration provides for us, allows us to play a national schedule, provides a budget. So from just a tennis standpoint, you know, all the parts are there. You know, we've had some great years, we've had some down years, but I mean, I feel like overall it's been pretty good.
As you mentioned, you've been at this at South Alabama a lot longer than just your coaching career, because you played here. Came over in 1994, during your time here, to give you credit as a student athlete, 46-14 in singles, 56-10 in doubles. You're all Sun Belt Conference in doubles twice, and each year you played, you were part of a Sun Belt champion and participated in the NCAA tournament. For all of that said, you know, when during that time as a student athlete did you figure out that coaching would be where you ended up? When did you figure that out, and why did you think that that'd be a good fit for you?
Well, first of all, I like those stats, and I'm going to repeat them to my team this afternoon, because sometimes they do not believe that I actually won matches. But, to make a long story short, I actually came here January 94, and I was just going to stay for 6 months, play one season, and then go back home. But, from day one, I just loved Mobile, Alabama. I loved the college experience. And here I am, I guess, 22 years later. You know, like most people coming over, you know, I thought I was a pretty good player. I got over here and I realized, all right, there's a lot of good players, but I still felt like I wanted to go and try and play professionally. When I finished school over here, I played a few tournaments and I quickly realized I got to become a coach. And I was fortunate enough, you know, that there was an opening as an assistant coach, graduate assistant coach. The coach took me on, and you know, just like when I was a player and I loved the college experience, as a coach I just fell in love with it, you know. And maybe, you know, my dad did some coaching, he was a rugby coach, so it kind of runs in the family a little bit, but it was a pretty smooth transition. I'm glad I did it.
So you graduated from South with your undergraduate degree in December of 98, and you had come back in the fall of 99 to accept that position, and that was coaching with the men, not the women. But, you know, your degree's in finance, but yet you said as a player that you immediately thought of coaching. You never pondered any sort of career in the business world? Was it just that you were more interested in finding a way to stay in tennis, or, you know, why did you kind of ignore what your degree was in?
Well, it was such a great opportunity at the time to go ahead and get a graduate degree, you know, while coaching. And the plan was to get the graduate degree and then maybe venture out within the business world. But I mean, within those 2 years, 2-3 years of doing my master's degree, you know, I just really got hooked, you know, with the coaching. You know, glad I did it. My dad still tells me, like, you're a fool, you know, you should be out there making real money, but I enjoy it, you know. It's I can't think of a better job out there.
So you earned your master's in business administration in 2002, and in 2002-03 was your first season as the head women's coach. You made the transition from men's assistant to women's head coach. Talk about the adjustment. I mean, that's a couple of adjustments that are pretty significant, because there's a lot more responsibility that comes with being the head coach, and then you change with, you know, who you were working with. Talk about the adjustments you made that have led you to be able to have the success you've had and the long career you've built in this.
Yeah, it was a huge adjustment. You know, being assistant coach, you know, I had plenty of ideas and a lot to say, but all of a sudden you're the head coach and, you know, you got to follow through and deal with a lot more problems and a lot of big picture things, and then going from the men to the woman, you know, it took me a while to figure that one out, you know, and I learned by trial and error. Fortunate at the time, once again, to have some talented players, you know, some good character kids. But I mean, yeah, the adjustment was huge. You know, I got to be careful what I say over here, but just trust me on that. Coaching men and women is a different ball game.
What, if anything, did you find that you took from your experience as a student athlete and put toward how you coach?
Yeah, that's a good question, you know, because, I mean, I have to say, from a coaching standpoint, you know, a lot of what we still do is kind of based off what we did when I was playing over here, and when I started coaching over here. You know, I just thought the teams were successful back then before I got here. It was a good system. You know, now I've added a little bit. I like to think I added a little bit of my own flavor and made adjustments along the way. But I felt like being here as a player and as assistant coach really gave me a good coaching education, so to speak. And, you know, kind of allowed us to kind of maintain a lot of the success that's always been here.
You know, if you were to have any potential student athletes listen to this, or anyone else that you work with that might be interested, kind of tell us what you feel like your coaching philosophy that you've developed over the years and kind of what you believe in that leads to a successful program and what's worked for you guys.
Well, I'll keep that short because I can talk about that all day long. But for us, I mean, the message is simple. Try and keep it consistent. I mean, for us, we want to be a fundamentally sound team, an extremely well-conditioned team that makes good decisions, and that plays with a chip on their shoulder, you know. And on top of that, if we can maximize our potential and show up to practice and to matches with the right mindset on a day-to-day basis, I feel like we'll be successful, or we will always stand a chance to be successful. And that's easier said than done, but I think, you know, that's kind of part, I like to think it's part of the culture and DNA over here at South Alabama. But once again, you know, we'll sit down April, May and see where we at, how successful it is.
Yeah, I want to ask about recruiting here for a little bit. And first, you know, is there anything in particular you look for in potential student athletes? What draws your attention to recruit a girl in the first place?
I mean, no doubt, you know, you're always looking for upside talent, you know, and see there's upside to a player. You know, beyond that, you know, we always try and find players who love to compete, you know, who love winning. You know, if it is winning the Jack Cup, if it is winning the team GPA contest, you know, loves to compete on court, you know, someone who enjoys that, you know, someone who doesn't mind hard work, you know, and someone who's got that chip on their shoulder. Sometimes it's hard to identify that 100% in the recruiting process, but in an ideal world, that's what we're looking for.
You know, when you look at the roster, you know, you've got several international girls, and that's sort of been a trademark of the program long before you came over. If you would, just talk about the difficulties of recruiting that way, because it's not like you've got the budget to hop on a plane every weekend to go look at girls play in tournaments. So talk about how hard it can be and how you make those decisions on trusting your gut.
Yeah, that's and that's getting harder and harder. You know, first of all, tennis, men's, women's tennis, I mean, that's an international sport. Majority of student athletes are international kids. You know, nowadays, everyone recruits internationals. So it is extremely competitive. You know, it used to be where a lot of coaches didn't have the contacts, didn't really like going over, but everyone recruits internationals. That's a part of a job I love. You know, I mean, can't think of a better job, getting overseas, Europe, wherever it is, you know, looking for players, traveling while still getting paid. But, you know, it's a very short period that you got to analyze, evaluate, assess, and then, you know, make a decision on, are you going to invest all this money into a player? So exciting, but yet scary, and it's getting more and more competitive because everyone is going after international students.
You know, if you were able to look big picture, not just for April and your goals there, but long term, for as long as you are the coach here, what would you say those goals are?
Well, our goals is every year trying to get a little bit better. Now, obviously, it's going to get harder and harder as we move forward. But, you know, if we can just, whoever we have on the team, maximize our potential as individuals and ultimately as a team, I'll be happy. I feel like we've got enough talent. Once we do that, you know, we'll stand a chance within the conference. We'll stand a chance on a national scale. You know, but bottom line is, you know, if we just stay true to our culture, our identity, and what we want to achieve on a day-to-day basis, I cannot ask for more.
Visiting this week on Inside JAG Nation with head women's tennis coach Yaku Kaiser, we spoke earlier about your career as a student athlete, and just in case your girls are listening, I'll even throw you the bone again, 46-14 in singles, 56-10 in doubles. Yeah, we talked about it outside on our own, so I know the story a little bit, but you grew up in Pretoria, South Africa, and, you know, in 94 you made the decision to come to South Alabama. Talk about that decision of why you chose South Alabama and some of the other schools that you seriously considered.
Well, it was a pretty simple decision for my parents. They met the coach. The coach sat in the living room. You know, he did a great sales job. Yeah, he stretched the truth a little bit, but he did a great sales job. And then secondly, you know, it was going to cost my parents a lot less money to send me over there. So that decision was made for me. You know, at the time, you know, there was a lot of South Africans over here, a lot of good South African players. So, I mean, I also felt real comfortable that since they liked it over here, since the climate is great, you know, this is a place for me, and I'm glad I came here.
So when in your time over there did you figure out collegiate tennis and going to school in the States was going to be a good path for you?
Well, I was just happy I wasn't going to go to the Army. Back then in South Africa, there was a 2-year mandatory Army training period, or whatever you want to call it, as soon as you finished high school. But that got done away with in June or July of my senior year in high school. So as soon as that happened, I'm going to America. And, you know, I had been speaking to quite a few colleges back then. And, you know, the head coach on the men's team was over in South Africa, and he sat down, and the decision was made pretty fast. And like I said, I was just happy I wasn't going to the Army.
Going back even earlier in your time as a child, I know that eventually, as you got into your teenage years, you were ranked among the best in the youth level in South Africa in singles and doubles. But when did you start playing tennis, and why?
My mom was a tennis player, or actually more a squash player, but she played tennis. And, you know, the setup in South Africa is each neighborhood has got a tennis club. And a lot of the people's social life kind of is through the tennis club. So my mom played quite a bit. My dad played a little bit as well. But whenever my mom played, she took me with from a young age. 4 or 5 years old, I picked up a racket. And while she was playing, I guess I was hitting against a wall. And it just kind of took off from there.
I want to skip here a little bit. We've talked about you had your undergraduate degree. You came back to coach, and as a GA, did the work to get your master's degree. But in the spring of 16, you walked again. You got yourself your doctorate degree. That's also in business administration. Why did you decide after the, that's a long break between your master's and your doctorate, you know, why did you decide you wanted to go back to school again? And how hard was it to get that degree while coaching your program to a pretty high level?
Well, I feel like I'm still recovering from that. It's something I always wanted to do. The timing worked out great. Where they started up this program at South Alabama around 2011, 2012. I got into it. At the time, I thought it was a great idea. Yeah, with all the work that came along with it, at times I thought, what was I doing? But I made it through it, you know, and I'm glad I did. You know, as much as I love the coaching, I can't see myself coaching when I'm 50, 60 years old. So who knows? Maybe I got that in my back pocket as an exit strategy one day. But looking back at it, you know, I'm proud I did it. I'm glad I did it. But like I say, I'm still recovering from that because that was a rough ride.
For the most part, except for a short stint figuring out whether or not you were good enough to play professionally in tennis, you've been part of the University of South Alabama since 1994, over 20 years. Over all that time, you look back, what's your favorite memory?
You know, this might sound cheesy, but 2 years ago when we won that conference tournament, that must rank as one of the top moments. We've won it a bunch of times as a player and as a coach and as assistant coach. But that was just real special because I felt like we started from scratch again, and just because of the people involved, you know, and I felt like we really had to work and do things the right way, sometimes not the fastest way, you know, but we took our time and we kind of built and we built. And, you know, that was a real special moment, winning that conference tournament a couple of years ago.
Visiting this week with women's tennis coach Yaku Kaiser. Before we let you go, we're going to put you in a third set tiebreaker situation. Got to have some answers fast. Got to win your rallies to get the final point and win the match. In your rare free time, what do you like to do?
You know, I like to play golf. I'm not a very good golfer, but I hack it out there, but whenever I get free time, I like to get on that golf course and hit the balls.
Some would argue that you're better than you give yourself credit for. Anytime I think you can write scores in the 80s on your card at the end of the day, you're not that bad.
I appreciate that.
You should have said racquetball, but I think we beat the fun out of that from you. So we'll welcome you back later on if you want. Outside of tennis, what's your favorite sport?
You know, I'll watch everything. You know, like I said, I enjoy playing golf, but I'm a sports nut. You know, American football, basketball, baseball, you name it, I'll watch it.
What's the best athletic event you've ever attended as a fan?
Any pro event, you know, when I can be there live, NFL, NBA, NHL, any pro event is a special treat for me.
You got one athletic event on your bucket list. Haven't been to it. Where do you got to go?
I want to go to the Masters.
You get to take a dream vacation one place. Where is it?
That is Scotland, St. Andrews, and I'm playing golf.
What's your favorite movie?
Swingers.
Favorite book?
Any John Grisham book.
Favorite musical artist?
And I don't really have one. I listen to everything.
And at the end of this career that you've built, when some ambitious director decides to go back and write and direct the Dr. Yaku Kaiser story, what actor plays the lead role?
Vince Vaughn.
That's head women's tennis coach Yaku Kaiser. Coach, we appreciate the time this week, and good luck not only this weekend in Coral Gables, but throughout the spring.
Thanks a lot, Brian. I appreciate it.
Inside Jag Nation is a production of South Alabama Athletics. Any rebroadcast or distribution of this podcast without the express written consent of South Alabama Athletics is strictly prohibited. Remember, you can find a new episode of Inside Jag Nation every week on USAJaguars.com or have them automatically uploaded to your smartphone by subscribing for free on iTunes. Keep up to date with the Jags by following us on Twitter with @USAJaguarSports and @JagNationUSA. Thanks for listening, and go Jags!